Well, we're going to start our worship this morning. So excited that you can be here. As you can tell, we're missing one, or maybe more than one. But the important one was Pastor Jamie has been sick with the flu this week. And I know as pastors, we try to fight through everything we can to be in church on Sunday. And I think it was his lovely wife, Jenny, who finally convinced him about 10 o'clock yesterday morning that he shouldn't be here. So he texts me, and I am just honored and privileged to be here to preach for you today. So we need to pray for our pastor, our shepherd, and his lovely family. You know, as we all know, a household shares most everything that's in the household. So we just claim victory over anything over that house. And that it isn't spread, and that there is healthiness within that home. So please keep him in your prayer and the family as well. And so we're going to try to navigate through today's service as if he was here. So let us stand. Well, let's pray first. How about that? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We invite your Holy Spirit to be here. To be presence, to help us, to open our eyes, our ears, our minds. Lord, move our hearts in the direction towards you. We come, Lord, knowing that we fall short of the glory. But we also know that if we keep our eyes fixed on you, you help us through every turn, every problem, every joy. And Lord, we come to you today bearing ourselves and asking you to lead us, that your hand may be placed upon us and your favor may be shown on us. We thank you for this assembly, for those that are here and those that can't be with us. We pray for them that they may be reunited with us in someday or in glory. We give you all the praise for this service today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. To our time of the sermon, and you're probably already looking at the slide up there that says growing through your pain, you're probably realizing that we're going to be talking about pain. And I know probably what you're thinking right now is if I was out there, I'd probably be thinking the same. Really? Really? I deal with enough pain and suffering, and now we're going to talk about it in church? I wish Pastor Jamie was here and not Pastor Mike. Who wants to listen about pain and suffering? Now, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in all my dealings with people, I have not found one person that told me that they have come to know Jesus because their life was so good, that they never, ever had a problem in their life, and that they had everything that they could possibly want in life and more. No problems, no health concerns, no difficulties, no pain. Everything was perfect for the life. And not one person told me they came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because their life was great. But what I did hear most of the time, when I asked someone how they came to know Jesus Christ, it wasn't about how good their life was. Their story always talked about pain. Their pain walking through in the midst, seeing Jesus there, helping them, carrying them, speaking to them, comforting them. When they were at the end of their rope or at the bottom of the barrel, when their life didn't seem like living any longer, it was there in that suffering and pain that they saw Jesus. And it took the next step for them to reach out to him in that pain, in that suffering, in those problems, in those circumstances that they knew they could not change, but the one who could was right before them. And they took that step out, as you probably did too, and said, Jesus, Thank you. I'm here. Thank you for coming and finding me, the one out of the 99 that needs you more than ever right now. Right? You see, God wants to use your sufferings, your experiences, your pain to help other people in this life. Did you know that most of us waste our sufferings? Most people waste their pain. Most people don't profit from their problems. Most people never gain from their pain. So today, I want us to look how to grow from the pain in our life, from the sufferings, from the problems, from the things we are part of and happen and don't even know what's going to happen the next hour or the next day, but we know that God is always there, ready to help us. We know Jesus is there, if he's your Lord and Savior, to guide us through that path of the valley that seems so dark. So I don't know what you've gone through. Could be emotional, could be physical, could be financial, could be relational, spiritual. In any area of your life that you have had problems, God wants to use the pain in your life to help others. Does that make sense? And on the surface, it doesn't, because it goes contrary to what the world says, right? And the thing is, God doesn't want you to waste it. And we as Christians have to understand that God's going to use whatever we're walking through for the glory of him through others. This is what Paul's talking about in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 4, when he said this: have you gone through all this for nothing? It really all for nothing? Now, what I like to do is, I like when I'm studying scriptures, I go back and I try to fill in between the words, because I can see this is a great spot for that. Have you gone through all this suffering for nothing? Is it really all for nothing? So if you put that word suffering in there, it really pinpoints and comes right to your face, doesn't it? Now, the Galatians were going through H-E-double-L. Their lives were a mess. The persecution, the suffering, the pain that the Galatians were enduring was incredible. And that's why Paul is saying this. You've been through so much. Don't let that overcome the joy of what is in Jesus Christ. How many times do we need to hear that? Because we get caught up in our own pain, our own problems. As I looked at that verse, I just have to ask you to answer a question in your own mind. Have you ever grown tired from the pain you are experiencing? Or have you ever wasted the opportunity of what you walked through to tell others about how God and Christ has worked with you, walked with you, helped you, rescued you in those times? Are you further down the road with God than you were? Or are you letting God go on down without you? Or have you had just pain in your life and you never made any difference? You've had that pain and you've resisted it. Or maybe you're saying, I don't know how to learn from my pain. Well, that's why you're here this morning. That's why God has you here, sitting here. I don't know how to grow from my pain, some people say. I don't know how to develop from my pain, a lot of people say. Well, it's not too late to learn, and I'm glad you're here this morning. So let's look at what God wants to do in your life through suffering, problems, pain. You can add it all in there. You all know what I'm talking about. The first thing I need to know is this: you can use your pain to draw closer to God. I can use my pain to draw closer to God. When anything happens in your life, you have a choice. You can either run to God or you can run the opposite direction. we by nature instinctively turn to God in pain. How many times have you ever seen somebody said, "Oh God, why am I in this mess?" Even non-believers even say that. 9/11, I was a pastor for like a little over a year, and all of a sudden 9/11 happens, a tragedy, a bomb goes off, people are flooding, it's a terrorist attack, the country's under attack, we have not been there. I had never walked through anything like that before in my life before, and probably you neither. And they're flocking into the church, wanting answers. You talk about being scared. A guy who just got done, who's in seminary, who's a pastor, who's supposed to lead these people through tragedy. And I said, "God, this, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to speak? How do I bring comfort in the time of tragedy?" And he said, "Talk about the pain they have." Talk about everything that's going on in their life, and everything that they have known has changed. When things and disasters like this happen, we cry out to God first. But how long do we stay there listening? If I reflect back, I don't know the same statistics in my church, but for 6 or 8 weeks, it was continued full, but then it would drift off. It's like, okay, we get back to life, and, you know, it's okay, God, you can go back to being in your throne, and I'm going to go ahead with my life. How do you turn towards God when the pain is so bad? When it hurts? How do you do that? Well, you tell God how you feel. You cry out to God. You argue with God. You trust God. When you're in shock, you express your shock to God. When you're in sorrow, you cry your sorrow out to God. When you're in a struggle, you argue with God. In surrender, you let go and you trust God. Because I guarantee you, my God, I have found out, is a whole lot bigger and does a whole lot more for me than I ever thought it could ever happen. And for me to hang on, and if my God is that big, he ought to take anything I can dish out. I'm just a little peon here. But God's much bigger than that. God cares, loves, embraces, sends Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Man, we've got a package that's all wrapped up and gift and given to us. And yet, where do we go when things like that happen? Pride enters in, right? The enemy goes, "Oh man, are you in such bad shape? God can't help you in this. God can't take care of you in this." And we begin to what? Listen to the wrong voice. "Oh, if I just barricade myself in my room, I'll be fine. Nobody can get to me then," right? And we cover up everything like it's all okay. But in the moment, Paul always gives us a way out. And I want you to see from 2 Corinthians 1:8-10. The Saint Paul says this: "I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the hard time we went through in Asia. We were really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we would never live through it." He never feared he would ever live through it. They were going to die. "We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good." Did you hear that? Paul says that was good. "For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could only save us, for he can even raise the dead. And he did help us and saved us from a terrible death. Yes, and we expect him to do what? Again and again. Paul says, wait a minute. We're crushed. We're overwhelmed. We're way over our heads. And they were ready to give up with discouragement, defeat, to the point that they were ready to die. But he says, all of that, in that process, in that time, he calls it good. When was the last time you went through suffering or pain or troubles and you turned around and says, I call that all good? I don't think many of us do that. I have a hard time. Why? Because Paul knew it drew him closer to God rather than away from God. When we do the same thing that Paul did, we are drawn closer into the Father's realm, into his throne room, where no matter what happens to the body or to this world, we are safe and comforted. And I just got to thinking, how many people do you know who have come to Christ out of pain? That might even be you. Maybe there was a divorce, a death, a disaster, a difficulty, a disappointment. God says, one of these things I can use this for your life, is that I will draw you closer to me through all these things if you'll let me. Many of you should say pain, many of you could say your pain turns you to Christ. Pain draws us closer to God. The second thing we need to know about pain and suffering and problems is that I can learn to use my pain to draw others closer together, closer to me. Not just to God, but to other people. That's what pain does for us. We're not in it alone. It allows it, pain will allow the love to go deeper when you share it with others. It will mature your love. It will mature the bond that you have with others when you're sharing what's going on in your life with other believers. It will mature everything that you have been through to understand it better, because suffering deepens the roots that you have into your faith. Because you're looking at somebody that said, yeah, I can have a witness to that. I've been right where you're at. Maybe the circumstances are different, but I went and I leaned on God. I leaned on the scriptures that tell me what Paul just told me. I'm going through this because it is good that I can draw closer to God through Jesus Christ. Suffering, when we see more people suffer or are in pain, they take the opposite direction, though. I've seen the most stubborn, self-centered, selfish people, when they turn to God, turn into the most wonderful, self-giving lovers I have ever seen. Because that spiritual brokenness that they had, which was really the problem, the suffering and the pain that they had, turned into the glory of a Christ child, of surrender and letting the pain go. Did you know that the odds aren't good for couples who lose child in their marriage years? Especially with their younger. In fact, nearly one-third of all marriages, if this lost a child, ends in divorce. One-third. And it's probably greater than that today. In my ministry, I had several children pass away at young ages because of mostly cancer. I knew what those odds were back then. I know that those marriages were in trouble. Because number one, when we don't go out and ask for God to help us, we build it all up inside. And you have a wife and a husband who can't communicate together because either they're dealing with, why couldn't I have taken care of him? That's usually the husband or her, my child. I was the protective and I couldn't take care of it and they lost on my watch. They died. And you have the wife who just wants to be embraced and be protected by her husband who can't even protect himself from the things he's dealing with. And the wife who can't protect herself. And so they drive each other away. But I can tell you, praise God and only through God, that every couple that walked through that, I spent hours with. Not one divorce was on my watch. Was it painful? I cried so many tears with them. And with God separated from them. It was hard. But I see where they are today in the loving relationship of our Lord Jesus Christ and God, and their lives are rich. Rich. Galatians 6:2 says, by helping each other with your problems, you truly obey the law of Christ. You say, what is that law of Christ? To love your neighbor as yourself, right? The real basic understanding of who we are. When you help each other in your pain, when you help in their suffering, when you help in the problems, when you enter into the fellowship of that suffering of somebody else, that's they don't even have to be a believer. And if they're not a believer, it's even going to be even better. Because they're asking you all kinds of questions of how do you do it? Well, you don't do it easy either. It's not how good I am. It's who I trust in that helps us get through this. God says when we're obeying the greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And I want you to listen to this. And I want you to say to you is that pain, if you allow it, will teach you how to really, really love someone else. And you may not even know. Love is far more than chocolates, roses, and Valentine's. Real love teaches you to love your neighbor as yourself. The third thing is God says, I can use pain to become more like Jesus. More like Jesus. Wow, I want that. But I have to have pain to be more like Jesus? Well, yeah. In other words, pain always is an opportunity to grow in character. Grow in character. Grow in who we are. To grow into the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, godliness, goodness, self-control, meekness, and faithfulness. Maybe I said a couple of those twice. I'm not sure. But these nine qualities, we can learn from them as Christians when we're helping ourselves and helping others. You learn them when you're walking through difficult, pain, suffering times. You learn love in unloving situations. You learn joy in grief situations. You learn peace in the midst of chaos. You learn patience, having to wait. You learn these things in the exact opposite of the situations. I can choose to let pain make me be more like Jesus, but again, it comes down to what? Your choice. You have to choose it. And for most people, choosing pain makes them bitter. Some people will let the pain make them better, and some let them take them away into a dark place. Proverbs 20:30 says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Does anybody want to give a testimony about that today? Because pain actually does. In fact, you probably most would raise your hand. That pain helps us to change our ways. In fact, God's number one purpose in our life is to make you like Jesus. Do you ever think about that? God's purpose for you, Israel, is to make you like Jesus. I just picked on you because you're here in the front row. To make you like Jesus. And if God is going to make me like Christ, then there's going to take me through some kind of things and issues and circumstances that probably Jesus went through, right? Makes sense. If I'm going to be like Jesus. The Bible says in this in Hebrews 5:8, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. You see, Jesus learned to do the right thing in spite of the fact it wasn't the easy thing to do. Is that right? How are you going to learn to do the right thing in spite of the fact it's not the easiest thing to do? You do it the same way, through suffering. Hebrews 5:9, the next verse, suffering made Jesus perfect. And now he can save forever all who obey him. Wait a minute. What did I just say? Suffering makes Jesus perfect. You say, and I said, suffering made Jesus perfect? Well, I thought Jesus was perfect. Isn't he God? The word perfect here, though, the literal meaning of perfect means complete. You see, when we think about that word, we have to think that God is making us complete. It's saying it completed Jesus to his perfection by participating and walking through suffering. These are some things, the only way you will learn is through the pain and suffering you're going through. And Paul compliments the Galatians, or Corinthians, excuse me, the believers in Corinth in Greece, had handled the pain of their own lives, just like the Galatians, the Corinthians, are having a lot of issues because they're being discriminated against, persecuted. 2 Corinthians 7:11 says, isn't it wonderful all the ways in which this distress has goaded them closer to God? You're more alive, you're more concerned, you're more sensitive, you're more reverent, you're more human, you're more passionate, you're more responsible. Look at it from any angle. You've come out of this with purity of heart. That's from the, it's a little different because I used the Message translation there. But look at it from the angle that you've come out of this suffering with purity of heart. Notice here, Paul is talking to a group of people who has been through the ringer as well as the Corinthians, or the Galatians, I'm sorry. The Corinthians were in the same boat. They were persecuted. We have no idea what they went through in pain and suffering. Their life had been miserable here on earth. They've gone through amazing persecution and the pain was really great. And he says there are seven things that have come out of this pain, this suffering. You're more alive. You are more concerned. You're more sensitive. You're revelant. You're human. You're passionate. You're responsible. This is the list of seven qualities when we, as Christians, walk through the suffering and pain, allowing Christ to take us through. We have these things in our lives, these things of passionate living for Christ is our responsibility. It's these qualities of life that God gives us to help others walk through suffering and pain just like we have. Wouldn't you like to choose to have a life like that? Then in the midst of your pains and suffering, call out to God. Get better. Don't get bitter. Walk towards God. Sit with God. read scripture, prayer, interact with other believers. I guarantee you, you will be better than you were. And God will even use you more than you ever thought you could be. You see, pain and suffering transforms who we are in Christ. It never leaves us where we started. It'll either be better or it'll be bitter. It won't leave you where it picks you up. It'll always take you to another place, a better place. Now listen closely to what I have to say. I want you to win in this life. Every Christian should want to live a win in this life. I want you to succeed. I want your life to have meaning and significance. I want your life to be all that God wants it to be, and I hope that's what you want God to do with you. The secret to every winner, whether it's winning in business, sports, love, relationships, winning financially or spiritually or any other way that you can think of I haven't said, the secret to every winner is one word, and it's resilience. Camp on that word, resilience. It's the ability to bounce back. Why? Because everyone goes through tough times. Everybody has failures. Everybody has flops. Nobody goes through life without problems. Nobody goes through life with just a breeze and everything's handled for them. Winners have resilience. Believers in Christ have resilience. A lot of times we get into this, oh, humdrum, God has left me. Where'd Jesus go? Well, I don't see him. And you're stuck in the same spot. God says, move. Put one foot in front of the other. Call upon my name. Use my son. Use the Holy Spirit that I've been trying to talk to you about. Open your heart and hear you. Hear me. Call your name. Follow me. But no, we pull back, don't we? Most of the people do, because hard times are tough. Winners have resilience. Christians need this resilience because we've got the best coach in the whole universe, cheering us on, showing us the way, telling us and encouraging us to take that race and run it. So how do we get resilience? You need to do what Paul does. 2 Corinthians 11, 23-28 gives us a good idea that Paul was probably the most resilient person that ever left, that ever lived. And you know probably where I'm going. I have been put in jail more often. I've been whipped times without number and faced death again and again. Five different times I was whipped with 39 lashes. Three times I had been beaten with rods. I once was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night, a day adrift in the sea. I faced dangers from flooded rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from angry crowds, I can only imagine. I've faced danger in the cities and in the deserts and even on the stormy seas. I've faced dangers from people who claim to be Christians but aren't. I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Now, are you fitting into this picture here? I've often been hungry and thirsty. I've often gone without food. I've often shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Besides all of this, I've had the daily burdens of all the churches I have started. Wow. And you thought you had problems. Can you imagine what the back of St. Paul's was like? How many times he'd been whipped and rods? You think you had a bad day. If anybody had a right to complain, it was Paul. That laundry list of terrible things that happened in his life, well, He's trying to serve God and plant churches. You can handle unbelievable pain if you see a purpose in it. Paul saw the purpose. He saw you. He saw me. He knew the urgency for the message that needed to be preached, that needed to be shared. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 through 16 and 18, that is why we never give up. He already turned his mind. That is why. Because of my suffering, I know it's for Christ, and that's why I don't give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. Our troubles and suffering are ours. After all, quite small and won't last very long, yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessings upon us forever and ever. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not seen yet. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys will come and will last for what? Tomorrow? Forever. Forever. We lose sight of that when we're walking in the midst of pain and suffering, of the great day that will come forever and ever. Jesus did the same thing. In the Bible, it says in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus endured the cross because he was looking forward to his reward. I don't know what is discouraging you today. It may be physical. It may be financial. It may be a relationship. I don't know what it is. There are some things that are prolonged in pain in life, and it just seems that they're not going to go away. Look past your pain and draw hope in the suffering of Christ. And the last thing before we close today, use your pain probably to the most important point of all, to the witness to the world. Use your suffering, use your troubles to witness to the world that they aren't the only ones that have these issues. You've walked through them. When you start talking about witness and evangelism, though, everybody starts getting a little bit uptight. The one thing about believers and non-believers is that they have in common, they're both nervous about evangelism, which is just crazy. Evangelism comes from the Greek word that we know that is good news. Why would we have any trouble telling people about good news? Don't you want to hear good news? There are so many problems and issues and sufferings and pain out there that they want to hear good news. But we're even afraid to tell them. God knows the exact opposite is true when we think it is true. We think that the world is impressed with prosperity, right? Oh, if I only had prosperity, I'd be able to tell more people about Jesus. So we show off our prosperity, but guess what? The world doesn't care. They don't care about prosperity. The world isn't impressed on how you handle your money or how rich you are. Most people you will bring into your inner circle will be those that survive the adversity that you're helping them through. And they care more about how you made it through than they are about whatever else you have in life. You could have a penny to your name and they wouldn't care, because they want to know how to get through that pain and suffering and trouble because of the way you turned out. You're a witness to the world. You're the good news to the world. God says, no, your suffering gives you credibility to witness to people, to tell people. We think fame earns respect. God says that actually earns respect is faithfulness in tough times. Most all my inner circle of friends all have been in a tough time that I have walked with them or they have walked with me at some time or another in my life. And I know I can count on them because they have the right perspective. They have the right understanding. You have to have authenticity in your pain to allow others to see it. And when you are authentic about your pain, you will have more people listening to you than you can ever imagine. You will be an evangelist for the world to see. I guarantee it. People can read all the books they want. They can meet with all the head shrinks that they can. But there's only one that can fix it. And that's knowledge of Jesus Christ in that relationship. Pain causes you to have credibility with people. Don't deny it. Embrace it like Paul did. Push through it. Be resilient and move forward so that you can be the light of Christ no matter what happens in your life. Amen? Oh, amen. Amen? That's better. That's what I like, is my team out there really going after it. So again, I want to look at Paul because he's the pro at this. He made the most pain, had the most pain, and God used him to bless the world, and he wrote half of the New Testament. Paul said in Philippians 1:12, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me spread the good news. This is real witnessing. This is Christ-like witnessing. The greatest witness of God's love is suffering for Jesus. This is how much I love you. This is how much it hurts. But I know I'm walking with Christ, and through it and in the midst, he's holding me together. Believe me, I know you know what my family's been through in the last 5 years. Because you've been walking through. You've been witnesses for us. You've helped us stay together. You've helped us keep our focus on where it's supposed to be. You don't know how important that was and is, remains today. We couldn't have made it without you. And you're better for it, and so are we. So the bottom line is this. You're going to have pain in life. You're going to have suffering and problems and issues. Things aren't going to work out the way you want them to work out. You can either use it for good or you can waste it. Please don't waste it. Share it with the world and win others for Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a Paul. You don't have to be whipped. You don't have to be put out in a boat for days. But there is suffering that goes along with it. But no, it only lasts a short period. And what you do for the kingdom, I can only imagine when you stand before God and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter my kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words today. Thank you for helping us. It's so easy to get distracted and taking our eyes off of you and on the problems, the troubles, the suffering we're going through. It's easy not to share with people who really want to help and may have already been down the same road that we have. It's easy to draw into ourselves rather than outward to you. Would you just open up your heart and pray this heart today? Just say, dear Jesus, use this pain in my life to draw me closer to you. Say, Jesus, use the pain in my life to teach me how to really love and draw closer to others. Say, Jesus, use the pain in my life to make me more like you. Jesus, use the pain in my life to serve others. And Jesus, use the pain in my life to be a witness to the world that you can count on, that you're a good God, and that you give us strength even in the most difficult times. And if you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ before, Jesus is knocking at the door. Open it and come into my life, he says. I will come into your life, he says, into your heart now and help you through the difficulties you have and begin the healing process. All you have to say is, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to learn to love you and trust you. I invite you into my heart and my life today. In Jesus' name.